Well, brethren, we enjoy Vesper services, don't we? They're a way of worshiping God and in our meditating upon, further upon His Word, and being encouraged by the different topics, the different subjects that we find Vesper services including. And this one is going to be no different, I'm sure. We appreciated Brother Bill's wonderful efforts, and I should probably say Sister Estelle's efforts as well. And tonight, the subject of his Vesper is Prayers of the Faithful. Prayers of the Faithful. Brother Bill.
Thank you, Brother Tim, and good evening, brethren. Take a look back, if you haven't shut your hymn books, at that first verse. I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of closing day in humble, grateful prayer. This is kind of the sentiment we want to bring forth this evening, and if we were, you know, it'd be nice if we were all looking out over God's creation right now and being able to privately spend a moment with Him in prayer. But we'll try to kind of bring you to that point to some degree through the pictures on the screen. So with that, the prayers of the faithful. And could I have somebody turn those lights out over on the side there? You can turn the microphone out here.
I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of closing day in humble, grateful prayer. Do we love to get away from the cares of life and turn to God in prayer? Brother Morton Edgar gives a beautiful definition of prayer.
To state the philosophy of prayer simply, if men desire to gain the glorious liberty of the children of God, they must overcome the forces of evil. But none have the strength within themselves to fight evil. God alone can supply this power, and He is willing to give it in the way appointed. He cannot send down His saving power to earth until He has there a kindred heart in communication with Himself, through whom He can operate. God works by love and persuasion, not by fear and force. His plan is to win men from under the banner of Satan, the usurping prince, and convert them into willing worshipers. He does not want men to be slaves. At present, they are slaves to sin and slaves to Satan. But God desires their liberation and willing allegiance, and He has provided a way by which all may come to Him for the necessary power to fight for their freedom. Prayer is the line of communication between the fighter and the base of power. The struggling earth cries to God for help because it finds no help in itself to overcome the powers of evil. And God requires this heartfelt prayer, for it is a spirit force against which spiritual forces of evil cannot stand.
The Lord is pleased with unselfish prayers, motivated solely to serve God's purposes. One of the most beautiful prayers offered unselfishly was given by King Solomon and recorded in 1 Kings 3:3-13.
And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.
If we, like Solomon, pray for wisdom, there would be one more request that would help us from falling a victim in the end, as did Solomon. We should pray for more of the Lord's Holy Spirit, which would provide strength to act upon that wisdom. It is one thing to have wisdom. It is yet another to have the strength of character to carry out what that wisdom dictates. There are prayers that take on a form other than that of Solomon's. Many hymns were written as prayers to God. Those who wrote the hymns certainly had an attitude of prayer in their hearts. So it is fitting for us to sing the hymns as if we are approaching the God of the universe in prayer, thoughtfully and reverently. Let's all sing together the hymn, Our Prayer, and sing as if in prayer offering up sweet incense to God, really thinking about the words and what the author of that hymn wanted to say to God. Thank you. We offer prayers to God in the form of hymns, but does God answer prayers in hymns? There is an interesting story about a hymn we commonly sing, Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Some years after the close of the American Civil War, an excursion party was steaming down Chesapeake Bay. A Christian man on board, of splendid voice, was asked to sing for the entertainment of the party. He chose this hymn, rendering it with great pathos. As he finished, a gentleman in the audience elbowed his way toward the singer and asked,
"Neighbor, were you in the Civil War?"
"Yes, I was on the Union side."
"Were you in the Battle of Bull Run? And do you remember the night before?"
"Yes, I remember it well. It was a dark night. I was assigned to picket duty and was feeling extremely sad and burdened of soul. I remember that as I walked on sentry duty, I sang this hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, Let Me to Thy Bosom Fly."
"Well, stranger, I remember that night too. I heard you sing that hymn. I knew your voice when I heard it just now. I was on the southern side. I had you covered with my rifle and was about to shoot you. But stranger, as you sang, cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing, a power came over me which I could not resist, and I did not shoot. Your singing that hymn saved your life."
Oh,
of the prayers of David were spoken to God in the form of hymns. One of the most well-known and comforting prayers is, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's try to visualize David singing this prayer to his Lord as we sing together. Much like those who write hymns of prayer, those who write poetry do so with prayers in their hearts as well. The following poem, "He Deigns to Hear," was written by one of our dear brethren after a plea for help from the Lord was answered.
Far above the highest treetops shimmers light I'd never see, if it weren't for my Father's gentle voice saying, "Pilgrim, come to me." With fainting heart I call him, kneeling at his mighty throne. I come with nothing in my hand, then he fills it with his own. Between me and the farthest glimmer, angels soar beyond the earth, ascending to the Father with my plea of little worth. How many prayers ascend with mine? Yet I need not despair, for he assures me of his attention to every detail of my care. Ever looking toward the heavens, my eyes begin to tear, for he deigns permit this tiny voice to reach his holy ear.
What a merciful Father we have. We are truly small and insignificant in context to the vastness of God and his universe. But though he is the greatest of all beings, he has given us this privilege to communicate with him. If we have little time for prayer, if we find ourselves too tired, too busy, too discouraged to pray, then is when we should set ourselves aside in a quiet room and ask the King of the universe to forgive our wandering and help us back into oneness with Him. A broken and contrite heart He does not despise. It is not until we go to the very depths of despair that on our knees we find God's mighty feet standing on the foundation of His throne. Jeremiah illustrates this in Lamentations 3:1-26.
I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgat prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
If we find ourselves in such despair, we should go immediately to the Heavenly Father, who is waiting eagerly to bless us with his Spirit and strength. Remember Paul's observation through his experience. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. 1 Corinthians 12:9. Like Paul, David, and Jeremiah, Daniel too was truly a man faithful in prayer. In fact, he is well known even to those of the world as one who prayed without ceasing. Daniel teaches through his example an important aspect of prayer. It was to him an impulse, just as eating is an impulse to all God's creatures. How many leave the instinct to pray dormant until crisis occurs? Isaiah states, Lord, in trouble they have visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastising was upon them. Do we wait until we are in trouble to call upon the Lord? We wouldn't neglect eating until we've reached starvation, would we? We, like Daniel, should be in close communication with our Heavenly Father, that we would come to Him several times a day, being instant in prayer. Daniel's prayers were always answered because of his great faith. But prayer has failed in some because it has always appeared to them as an obligation or duty. Prayer to the consecrated should not be a burden to be borne, something that is due to God and must be paid. It is a privilege of the sonship God offers us. The following hymn reminds us of the privilege we have in approaching God. Let's sing together, Watch and Pray. Thank you. thinking of prayer as a duty could be the reason why some find their prayers unanswered. But there could be another reason. Some make long lists of prayers to God, much the same way a child would make a list and submit it to Santa Claus. God should be reverenced with such awe, such respect and trust, that we would get to the point someday that we would simply say, "Father, let your will, not mine, be done." We recorded a sister years ago reading a prayer in poem form to such an effect. Soon after reading this poem for us, Sister Rose Henning passed beyond the veil. Sister Rose came into the truth when she was 70 years old. The Lord saw to it that she had every opportunity to learn all she needed to know to make her calling and election sure by the time she was 92. And a short time later, her daughter Wilda consecrated her life at the age of 70. Sister Rose was a wonderful example, and this poem, "Thy Will Be Done," well illustrates her sweet, submissive will.
My Lord, thy will, not mine, be done. Whatever path thy love shall choose for me, through desert sands, or if beside the sea, thy will be done. Oh, may thy will in me be done. Should harvest labor be for me, thy will, or if I may but suffer and be still, thy will be done. My Father, let thy will be done. If sweet the cup thou pourest for me to drink, I'll praise thee, but if bitter, I'll not shrink. Thy will be done. Forever may thy will be done. I would not choose, I leave it all with thee. The pilgrimage, if short or long it be, thy will be done. That's beautiful, isn't it?
Of what purpose is prayer if we don't listen for an answer? There are many ways the Lord speaks to us in answer to our prayers. Sometimes it is very directly. Maybe a thought will pop into our head even as we are praying. Sometimes we find answers as we read the scriptures. But more often than not, it is by the words or actions of our brethren. We might hear an answer in our studies together, or in the testimony of an experience of another. Perhaps the Lord has spoken to us from a talk from the platform, or from the kind and selfless act of a brother or sister. All this leads us to one very important point. If we are looking for the answer to our prayers, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Another important point, we must not be too exacting and critical of our brethren. These could be the very instruments of the Lord's voice to us. Our brethren are the closest thing we have to having our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father by our side, helping us along the way. We have a special bond together in the Spirit, and we need each other's fellowship and prayers.
We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk. By our love, yes, they'll know we are rich.
the greatest and most beautiful prayer ever offered was that of Jesus when he knew his time to depart the earth had come. We find this in John chapter 17, our Lord's Prayer.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
This was a most selfless prayer. In Jesus' final and most painful hours, he thought of his Father, the apostles, and his disciples, and their difficult times ahead. If we could only be this selfless in our prayers, how much more could we accomplish for the Father and his cause? Our Heavenly Father shows us in the Scriptures that it is not wrong to praise and honor his Son. The pastor states that Jesus is worthy of our prayers as well. But we are to remember that Jesus would direct us to his Father. Let's sing together the prayer in the hymn, We Worship Thee. disciples asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus opened up the way for the Jews to be part of his heavenly family. Until this time, the disciples had never heard of the concept of praying to Yahweh as their heavenly Father. So imagine in their amazement when Jesus suggested they pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." This prayer is one of the most repeated in the world, yet most people don't know the full meaning of it. We know the kingdom is a reality and that it will happen even without us asking. But God is pleased to hear us ask earnestly for that which the entire plan has been arranged.
Our Father, Thou in the heavens, revered be Thy name. Let Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done upon earth, even as in heaven. Give us this day our necessary food, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And abandon us not to trial, but preserve us from evil. Amen.
Brethren, let us all be more immersed in the kingdom for which we pray, more encouraged to seek the Father's guidance, protection, mercy, and love. Let's strive to be faithful to our exceptional privilege of prayer.
Experiences where the PA guy forgets to turn the mic on. It's a little too loud, Brother Bill. We're going to ask Brother Bill to offer a prayer to close this Vesper service and then invite Brother Mike Callanan to come up and read for us songs in the night.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we this evening, try to remember thy faithfulness and be faithful to you also, and that we, as we remember all of the great things that you have done for us, that we will praise thy name and meditate on these things often, keeping all of our brethren in prayer and praying especially for thy kingdom to come. We say this now, giving thanks through Jesus' name this evening. Amen.